answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. We will finish the job. Now, we agreed to this outline upon which for every extra 10 Israeli hostages that Hamas would release, we said we will give another day of humanitarian pause in the fighting. And for that end, we also prepared the list that you're talking about of Palestinian prisoners who were involved in terrorist activity that we are willing to release. But once Hamas stops releasing more hostages, we will stop the pause. We will resume the fighting. Hamas must be gone.
How do you feel about our Secretary of State sitting in with your war cabinet, war officials, which just happened?
You see, we're in lockstep with Washington about the goals of the operation.
Are you taking orders from us?
We are a sovereign country, as you know, but there is no daylight between Washington and Jerusalem. It's important to understand here because we all want to see Hamas gone. We all understand that all hostages must return home. There are 145 more in Gaza as we speak right now for, what, more than 55 days now. And everyone understands that Gaza can no longer pose a terror threat to Israel.
There is the part where there is no daylight between the U.S. and Israel. When Brian Kilmeade is asking her, are you taking orders from the U.S.? She didn't really say no, didn't say yes. She said we're a sovereign nation, and we all agree that Hamas cannot continue to exist. We all agree all the hostages must be returned. But there have been a lot of indications surfacing more and more. And I told you almost on the third day or less after Biden was making remarks that were solidly behind you, and he didn't bother going over there. He originally sent Secretary of State Blinken, who's Jewish. I can understand that makes somewhat of a good reason to send him. And then Defense Secretary Austin. And then eventually Biden shows up and stands there firmly and says, we've got your back. But before he got all the way back to the U.S., he's already beginning to show he's slipping and sliding a little bit. Why? Because the progressive left that is anti-Semitic and shouts PLO, PLO, and supports Hamas and what it did, and shouting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. That is a clear, definitive statement. Israel will be wiped from the face of the earth. And that means every Jew. And Biden has yet to call out members of his own party for those remarks because he cowers as they protest and march outside his home in Delaware. And then they stage an event in various cities. There was a March for Israel that took place in D.C. in between some of those. Absolutely no violence, no threats, nothing wrong. Then, of course, you come to the Thanksgiving Day Macy's Parade. Here come the PLO Hamas supporters, hands painted green, the color for the head scarfs the Hamas terrorists wear, gluing their hands to the pavement or to the balloons if they could get hold of them. And again, no condemnation from this White House. And this ceasefire means no one is going to shoot at each other until a certain time. And yet they just had another attack. This is another Hamas attack that just happened and word broke quickly this day.
Fox News alert now, 3 innocent Israelis murdered and 11 more hurt after terrorists with ties to Hamas opened fire at a Jerusalem bus stop. And moments ago, 2 IDF soldiers injured when terrorists rammed a car at a checkpoint in the West Bank. All this as the so-called ceasefire slash pause deal is extended one final day, perhaps. Tal Heinrich is a spokesperson for the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, joins us now. Tal, great to see you. First off, you just said you wake up and you find out about these two random attacks. Your thoughts?
It's terrible. That's the terrible reality of hatred and violence that we're dealing with. One attack in Jerusalem, three people were killed, as you said, dozen more injured. Luckily, it could have been much worse.
Could have been a lot worse. So there's a ceasefire. Now you can say, well, these are just renegade, rogue Hamas terrorists. They're not acting on any orders that could be. But that, again, as she said, reflects the hatred that exists. So there's a ceasefire. Israel's not bombarding Gaza, allowing humanitarian aid to come in through certain routes, and those that will be allowed to leave as hostages being turned loose, let them go. And they have agreed to extend the ceasefire one more day. And within hours, this thing goes down. As I mentioned the last hour, just imagine that you were one of the ones who got freed early when they first started this ceasefire pause in exchange for 10 hostages today, maybe 12 tomorrow, maybe an American mixed in, maybe not. You don't know. We told you yesterday, it's like they're dealing with them like cattle, marking them up as to who's more valuable. Who do we keep last? Well, they're keeping men. They're letting children and some women go, but not all the children, not all the women, because they know that that tugs at heartstrings. You'll show some going free because it makes Hamas look like, well, they do care about the babies and the elderly. They do not. They do not, and it's simple to see how and why I can stand definitive on that. When you look at all of their arsenals, their munitions, their missile firing capabilities, their headquarters are all in tunnels built under the civilian population in Gaza, under schools, under hospitals, under refugee centers. Anything where civilians would be a shield between them and an Israeli attack, they use. So don't get all weepy-eyed and say, see, Hamas has concern for little babies too. So I guess the ones that were going through killing the babies, chopping heads off and so forth, and other atrocious crimes, were just doing it all on their own. Well, according to a couple who have been interviewed by the Israeli Defense Forces, when they caught them, they were told, go and make as bloody, barbaric as you can, because it might get Arabs around the world to rise up against the Jews everywhere, realizing the day has come. They were also hopped up on some pills they were giving them. And one even said, we were told we could, and I did. I'm sorry for what I'm going to say on one hand, but if you're not recognizing the reality of the situation, this should shock you deep. This one being interrogated said, we were told we could, and I and others did, rape women, and even if they were dead, they were allowed to rape them. You're not going to find anything good to say about Hamas until they're dead and gone. Good. And then we have the issue not with just Hamas in Gaza, but Hamas also around the West Bank area, along with Hezbollah.
I did many interviews over the past days, as you know, and usually I get asked, why are you operating in the West Bank? Well, this is why. This is why. People tend to forget that Hamas is not just in Gaza. They have cells in the West Bank and other terrorist organizations like the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. We do not want to see another flare-up on another front, and this is why we're acting preemptively there.
They are acting preemptively, and they're going after them now. Now, they're not going into the West Bank directly, at least not officially, but they know they're there, and they probably have some intel services inside working for them. Biden administration's, according to Politico, quoting an official not named, said that the Biden administration officials have advised Israel from the beginning to moderate its initial invasion plans, and they've had limited success having Israel listen to them. Israel adopted their battle plan significantly to reduce the number of ground troops sent into Gaza in the initial stages, but beyond that, they're doing what they think they need to do. And Biden's continued support for the Israeli offensive has upset his left flank, according to Politico, leaving him vulnerable if a tight race comes up between him and Donald Trump. And you got Democrats in swing states like Michigan say they will not pull for Biden's reelection because he lost their vote because he's supporting Israel retaliating for the October 7 attack. So again, Politico suggesting Biden is maybe trying to run and tell Israel, here's what you should do.
We don't want to see civilians caught in the crossfire. We are doing our maximum efforts to make sure that they are out of harm's way. Hamas is doing exactly the opposite because that's their method. That's how they operate. They embed themselves in and under civilian population. But we will continue to do what we did in the north. And
providing humanitarian corridors, is that what you're going to do?
Indeed, of course. We don't want to see civilians in harm's way. We want them to heed our advice, right, and go to these safer havens that we have designated for them.
When people say, I hope this ceasefire is enduring, what do you tell them?
Ceasefire enduring? What choice do we have? Do they want us to go back to the October 6th? Hamas says that they will perpetrate the October 7th massacre for a second, a third, a fourth time. We believe them. We want to tell the hostages, Brian, who came back home just yesterday and 2 days ago, that they are safe.
They are safe. Unless they were standing at that bus stop. As the Hamas terrorists decided, they're going to go ahead and continue firing. To hell with the ceasefire. So while we watch Israel fight Hamas from afar here, we should constantly be alert in our nation for terrorist actions in our own homeland. That's especially because of the Biden open border policy since day one. We've had millions come into our country unvetted. Now, you might have some compassion for some of them. We are humans. We have compassion for little children who are brought here truly by their family, and they're not being child trafficked, and they just want a better life for their family. You have compassion for that. I do. But there's a legal way, and there's an illegal way. But again, those not being vetted, you have to realize the threat our nation faces.
Look, the bottom line is we need to have a visa system in which we actually know who is coming into this country, who they are, where they're going, what their intentions are. The way this administration is setting it up, they're just allowing millions of people to come into the country. 50% of them don't qualify for asylum if you look at the court data, and they're abusing the asylum process. I'm all for people wanting to come legally, like my parents did, to this country and having an opportunity to work and provide for their families, but we need to do it in a way that's not going to hurt Americans, that's not going to make sure that the fentanyl is coming over the border as well. All right, I just met with the Drug Enforcement Administration yesterday, Maria, and they told me 200,000 pounds of fentanyl seized in New York. Okay, 200,000 pills as well, just in one mill in the Bronx. I mean, it's out of control, and the fact that the president allows us to continue and claims that they are the people who are compassionate about, this is not good for the migrants. It's not good for American citizens. So look at the women who are being raped, children being raped as well. Where's their compassion?
Where is their compassion? Same kind of playbook the Democrats were running when Trump was in charge of the border and had them in, quote, cages, same facilities Obama had built to use. And Trump was separating children from adults for a while until they could verify the child actually belonged with the adult, protecting the kids. But immediately, oh, you're taking babies from their mothers. You are so inhumane. You have no compassion. And now where are all those same people shouting about compassion for children being brought into this country on a daily basis that are often sold right into a sex den? They may or may not come out alive, but they'll never be the same again. Where's the compassion for all the Muslims in Russia, the Uyghurs who are being enslaved by Russia? Where's the cry for them? Where's the cry for the women who were raped by Hamas terrorists? Where's the Me Too movement? You were listening then to New York Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis saying, I've got a bill that we're basically going to try to get through, but Chuck D. Schumer is standing in the way again.
Chuck Schumer refuses to take measures to secure our border and stop this crisis, which could be done today. So we have no choice but to try to find ways to stop this flow of individuals. And as long as my mayor keeps providing free housing and services, we're going to see this mass illegal migration. So what my bill does is just say that, look, we can't use our federal parks. This mayor has taken away our schools, assisted living facilities, now our open spaces to house these individuals at a tremendous expense to taxpayers, billions of dollars, and they're cutting police, they're cutting school safety agents. We are down thousands of cops, fewer than we had on September 11, 2001. We're going to go even further back because 2,500 police officers left the force, and this mayor will not replace them. Why? Because he's spending the taxpayers' money to continue these shelters and encampments and continue to provide services that American citizens don't even receive.
That is exactly the point. That's just New York City. So President Biden was in Colorado examining what is considered the world's largest windmill factory. And he approached three guys in yellow vests at the facility, and one of them appeared to pose some kind of question to Biden. And Biden's response got picked up saying, now look, my Marine carries that. It has a code to blow up the world. This is not nuclear weapon, is it? All right. Okay. You think I'm kidding? He's talking about the nuclear football that, yes, has to be with him each time. The emergency satchel, often carried by a military officer, never far behind. So he's visiting the CS Wind. It's a manufacturing company actually headquartered in South Korea, but it's in Colorado. He's all about wind energy. When he's not talking about, I've got the key and the code to blow up the world. And he's talking to the company president and mixes him up with the successor or predecessor, a leader of Korea, saying, I'm friends with your leader, Mr. Moon, you know. No, that's not so. Then he also said, Congressman Trump, this man is losing it totally. Chuck Schumer, anti-Semitism.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
1, 2, 3, they gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I come to the floor to speak on a subject of great importance, the rise of anti-Semitism in America. I feel compelled to speak because I'm the highest ranking Jewish elected official in America. In fact, the highest ranking Jewish elected official ever in American history. And I have noticed a significant disparity between how Jewish people regard the rise of anti-Semitism and how many of my non-Jewish friends regard it. To us, the Jewish people, the rise of anti-Semitism is a crisis, a five-alarm fire that must be extinguished.
Those are the words of Senator Chuck Schumer, majority leader, of course, in the Senate, speaking out about anti-Semitism on the rise. Now, we played some of it in the first hour, and I told you then that we're going to play more this hour. But some of the points are going to have to be repeated again for you, in the sense that the first and most obvious thing is this speech he gave comes maybe a little late since October 7. Why was he not there right away on October 8? Because he knew anti-Semitism had everything to do with what happened October 7. And where was he when members of Congress were also out there yelling at, with the rallies supporting the PLO with their call from the river to the sea and also praising Hamas, or at least not condemning? He stayed silent. He said really nothing, nothing in public. Now, I don't know what kind of talks he had behind doors and what he had to say about Omar Ilan and Tlaib and the rest of the squad, including Cori Bush, who, there's a woman who is absolutely lost in the world right now. But she knows to follow AOC, that might be a golden ring at the end of the trail. But here she, like the rest of them, were constantly berating Israel. And immediately, within 3 days of Israel hitting Gaza, once they started, and remember prior to that, they gave repeated warnings. Those of you in northern Gaza, around Gaza City, you need to go south. Go south to Egypt, down in that region. Egypt's not going to let you in, but at least go down there, because we're going to bomb the hell out of Gaza City and everything around it, because we know Hamas has set up a lot of command centers there, and they have military weapons and munitions stored in children's bedrooms, under bassinets, under hospitals, under schools, and we're going to wipe it out. And their 100-mile tunnel complex they built, some big enough that you could drive a vehicle through so that you could quickly transport commanders and our equipment. They've been doing this for decades to get here and be ready. And, of course, I will still remember the CNN reporter who went along with the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, once they decided to move in to start looking at some of this in close-up. They allowed him to go, and they're showing him, look, we have this collection of weapons here, right here in this child's bedroom. And the reporter almost, maybe I'm making too much of it, but I don't think so. It was almost incredulous, like, almost saying, well, you guys didn't put those there. I mean, he didn't ask it that way, but you could tell. But you want to say that? Do you really think then that they dug, that the Israeli Defense Force dug all those tunnels in 3 days or less? But again, Chuck Schumer in his speech was extremely passionate. And he hit on one phrase, which I stated a moment ago. And that should have been that, when that started happening among members of his own party, he should have made this very statement.
Obviously, many of those marching here in the U.S. do not have any evil intent. But when Jewish people hear chants like from the river to the sea, a founding slogan of Hamas, a terrorist group that is not shy about their goal to eradicate the Jewish people in Israel and around the globe, we are alarmed. When we see signs in the crowd that read, by any means necessary, after the most violent attack ever against Israeli civilians, we are appalled at the casual invocation of such savagery. When we see protesters at Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade compare the genocide of the Holocaust equivalently to the Israeli army's action to defeat Hamas in self-defense of their people, we are shocked. And when we see many people in news organizations remain neutral about the basic absurdity of these claims and actions, we are deeply disappointed.
And they well should be. But why, Chuck Schumer, will you not call out members of your own party that were in the streets with the same groups yelling, not just PLO, but supporting Hamas, and also using that slogan of Hamas, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which means there would be no Israel. And then, of course, you go back basically into history and remember Hitler and the final solution for the Jews? Extermination.
Understand why Jewish people defend Israel. Not because we wish harm on Palestinians, but because we fear a world where Israel is forced to tolerate the existence of groups like Hamas that want to wipe out all Jewish people from the planet. Some of us watched this film, which the public can't see, which showed the brutality and viciousness that every Israeli citizen and every Jew feels. We fear a world where Israel, the place of refuge for Jewish people, will no longer exist. If there is no Israel, there will be no place for Jewish people to go when they are persecuted in other countries.
Excellent point again. I haven't seen any kind of reaction whatsoever from the squad and those who have been in the street yelling the same slogan that he says equivalent to the Nazi solution, the ultimate solution, wipe out Israel. Keep in mind, Israel sits on the Mediterranean Sea, on the southwestern edge of Israel is Palestine, I'm sorry, Gaza, and they gave it to the Palestinians and even moved Jewish settlers out of the area when they did give it to them, and then the Palestinians then yielded control or it was taken from them by the Hamas terrorists. And then on the other side of Israel, you have the West Bank. It's on the east side of Israel, but it's on the west bank of Jordan, the Jordan River. So that's why they say from the river to the sea. In between is nothing but Palestinian territory, and right in the middle of it, Israeli territory. Schumer told also a very touching story about his own grandfather.
As an adult, I remember watching my grandfather, one of the few in his family to survive the Holocaust, being overwhelmed by emotion and breaking down in tears when he saw Israel for the first time. This had nothing to do with politics or with money or with racism or with oppression. It was deeply human. The emotional catharsis of a man whose family was uprooted and exterminated, finally stepping foot in the place of refuge for his people. A place that the Jewish people had yearned for, not just for decades or centuries, but for millennia. So many of my aunts and uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews would be alive today had Israel existed before World War II, as I said before. Many Jewish Americans fear what the future may bring based on the repeated lessons of history.
I'm not at all questioning Chuck Schumer's passion and sentiment and sincerity. Not at all. And those who have escaped the Holocaust, few of them are still alive, but they know the story, and if you bother with the history, you'd know it as well. But then he wants to denounce the double standard that exists, and here's where I think he missed a point again.
I implore every person, every community, every institution to stand with Jewish Americans, not to ignore it, not to shrug your shoulders, to denounce it, anti-Semitism in all its forms, especially the double standard that has been wielded against the Jewish people for generations to isolate us. The time for solidarity must be now. Nothing less than the future of the American experiment hangs in the balance. Building a more perfect union, one that fulfills our founding ideals, is our longest and most solemn struggle as a country. And as Americans, we are called on to do all we can to achieve that higher standard. We are stewards of the flames of liberty, tolerance, equality, that warm our American melting pot and make it possible for Jewish Americans to prosper alongside Palestinian Americans and every other immigrant group from all over the world.
Those are absolutely true, and there is the double standard. But that's where, again, Chuck Schumer falls so short, and not calling out members of his own party. They couldn't get through a resolution to condemn one of them when they were saying, you know, follow the Benjamins, like follow it to Israel. You'll see why we give money to Israel. Coming up, the chances that Biden might win election, and then China. Do we have another pandemic?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com, litstl.com.
She'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary, when what deep in love, yes I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I saw a report earlier today, and I'm sure maybe you've seen similar, that there's a new variant going around of COVID or something like that, and it seems to be under control and not as many going into the hospital because of it in some areas. And yet in other areas they are. And then how it's affecting the young versus the old. There's a lot of unknowns about it. And of course you see the pharmaceutical companies spending their dollars, get your shot, bringing in high profile actors, actresses, even a Martha Stewart. Showing she's got her patch, that she's got her shot. If you choose to do so, that's your option. But it's contrary to what we were previously facing. That was a mandate, remember? And then there's this. The Taiwan Ministry of Health and Welfare advising the young and elderly, as well as those with weak immune systems, to avoid travel to China. They have a surge of a respiratory illness. The Chinese government continues to insist it has the outbreak under control. But observers did notice a return of travel restrictions, spraying public areas with public disinfectant, techniques that Beijing used during the coronavirus pandemic. I was in a local hospital yesterday for a little checkup, and still on the floor are these stand here, another 6 feet forward, stand here. Remember when they said, keep your 6 feet, stand on the spot? And there are several people in the hospital that had masks on. They were either workers, judging by what they were wearing, or they were just visitors. And again, that's their choice. And for whatever reason, they could make their choice. But I didn't see anybody standing on the line. I certainly didn't. But an epidemiologist out of New Delhi said travel restrictions for respiratory infections are not an effective measure for interrupting transmission. Already we've seen and heard reports that those coming from foreign countries will be asked to voluntarily provide a swab from their nose. By voluntarily, it means hold you down and stick it in your nose? I don't know. Of course, the Chinese government obviously did a great job of covering up the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic. Had the WHO on board with them. Dr. Fake went along with it. But now, according to the Global Times, talking about the Chinese pediatric hospitals, they say they made a lot of improvements to help deal with the surge of sick children, and they're showing increases of more than 50% in beds and medical staff. They're acknowledging they're accommodating a surge and a new respiratory virus. Chinese social media filling up with photos and videos of anguished parents, sick children packed into overcrowded waiting rooms. But the Global Times insisting hospitals are just taking appropriate steps. I don't know how to tell you who to believe, to be quite honest. I should mention to you, the Global Times is run by, you guessed it, China. Oh, yeah, yeah, there might be a lot of pictures out there, but, you know, we got everything good. And now the South China Morning Post came out and said, we are beginning to restart some coronavirus control measures, especially at schools, childcare institutions, and nursing homes. You know, the New York Times finally, about a week and a half ago, acknowledged the damage we caused to a generation of children during the COVID time. They suddenly have someone on board they quote as an expert that acknowledges your grades went way down. You don't need to be an expert to know if your kids are learning or not. Parents got a good idea. But, of course, parents are not considered to be an expert even at parenting. Because if the child wants to become transsexual and they're not helping them do it, well, they're not a very good parent. We'll just take them away from the parents. And that's where the fight will start. All right, let's turn the subject away from the COVID possibility resurfacing to what are the chances of Biden surviving an election? Here we go, the support among independents for Biden dropping another 8 points, a record low of 27% among independents. This is a Gallup poll. They're basically putting it as a race between Biden and Trump. Biden's approval among independents trending down. Back in July, he was at 38% support of independents. Now he's down to 27%. And when it comes to his policies, also going the opposite direction. The poll found the low rating among independent voters, sluggish economy, job performance, foreign policy, Ukraine war, healthcare policy, they're all going down and trending down. Gallup survey released a statement saying that with less than a year to go until the presidential election, Biden continues to receive tepid ratings from the American public. His overall job approval rating still at a personal low and is in historically dangerous territory for an incumbent seeking re-election. And overall, the poll found his approval rating among all Americans, not just independents, sliding away again. And then there's this story This is from partly from the New York Times, stating the Democrat Party does not have a plan B. They don't have a plan B. I always say if plan A doesn't work, well, there are another 25 letters in the alphabet. The next one would be B. Well, they don't have a B, so I guess they're no C, D, whatever. And according to this from the New York Times, actually it's also including part of a Breitbart report, many Democrats say Biden is not the best candidate to mount a strong campaign against Trump. A Breitbart survey said the top three descriptions of Biden, registered as the 81-year-old, has low energy. That's probably a flattering remark. They were asked out of the top three options out of 10 possibilities, how would you describe Biden? There were 10 possibilities. Here are the top three. Tired. That came in 27%, number three. 37% perceived him as weak. That was number two. The number one, the number one for Joe Biden on the Breitbart survey out of how would you describe Biden, 58% said old. That was a given. And then they quote the New York Times saying that there are several Democrats who might face a challenge if Biden drops out. Of course, then they got to get into the state primary ballot, get the work done ahead, and they're running out of time. One Democrat strategist said, logistically, it's impossible. May I repeat that? Logistically, it's impossible for someone to jump in. Said for the state of California, for instance, you want to get in the first two primaries and probably others, be a tall order, and then to secure 26,000 signatures in California by its December 15th deadline. Deadlines for submissions already passed in South Carolina and Nevada, the first two states on the Democrat calendar. And in fact, this same Democrat strategist adds, not only is it logistically impossible, politically, it is a suicide mission. One senior Democrat telling Reuters, referring specifically to the VP, Kamala Harris, there is no plan B. If he, Biden, were suddenly not to run, everyone you know would run. The VP scares no one. That's a fact. Which brings us to a couple of other events. First of all, it is tonight. I told you yesterday it was happening. I was wrong. I got my dates messed up. My bad. It's because I'm stupid. Mentally challenged, whatever, you have to give me some allowance. I'm begging you. Or don't. Just say, no, you're stupid, Larry. You're right. But tonight is the Fox debate moderated by Sean Hannity between California Governor Newsom and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Well, they're not running against each other. They're not even running against each other in the primary. They're two separate parties. Could they possibly end up running against each other in a general election? Maybe this one? Not likely. But the way it's being billed by the network is a good idea. It's red state versus blue state. And they're going to be dealing with issues like immigration. How's that working for red states versus blue state? Crime. Inflation. Things of that nature. Now, those are very polarizing issues between red and blue states. And the most obvious evidence of it? How many are leaving blue states going to red states? When Carl Icahn, the corporate raider, decides to leave his New York high penthouse pinnacle in New York City and all of his business dealings and moved them to Florida, basically working out of something not much bigger than a low-rise shopping mall, that tells you something. But then there's this, a piece from Politico. It says a 543-word editorial might have just upended the presidential campaign. It was a post by Trump calling for Obamacare's replacement. And they say it's lit a fire under Biden's slow-burning campaign. Apparently, that went down like this. Again, I'm reading from Politico. And Politico leans left considerably. It says Republicans thought they were done with their Obamacare nightmare, and then Donald Trump read a Wall Street Journal op-ed. 543 words, as I said. And he got interested in a piece by the paper's editorial board focusing on healthcare industry consolidation and also touching on the Affordable Care Act. So Trump fired off a post on Truth Social saying he was, quote, seriously looking at alternatives. And the 2017's failed repeal and replace effort was, quote, a low point for the Republican Party. Well, it didn't take long for that to go viral for the Democrats. They immediately start out new ads calling for more Obamacare, Obamacare protection. Get your keep your doctor, and yeah, we know that lie, don't we? We won't really know what's in it anyway until after we sign it, as Nancy Pelosi pointed out. And just the week before Trump read that and wrote his message, he had a lunch with former Kansas Governor Jeff Collier, a surgeon, where they did talk about health care. And he ended up getting an endorsement from the former Kansas governor. Now, exactly how it's going to play out is not sure. But again, according to Politico, for the Democrats, Trump's renewed attacks on Obamacare amount to a political gift to Joe Biden and the party. They're saying this couldn't have been timed better. There are some saying Trump's campaign is currently drawing up a health care proposal. Unclear when it would be released, if it will propose a full replacement plan. Republicans have been trying to come up with one for years. Trump did release policy videos focusing on taking on Big Pharma. But one Republican close to the campaign said, there's not a real there. No one's really working on this. But where there's smoke. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi is giggling. This is just perfect. And it's all because Trump read an editorial and thought, you know, we as Republicans need to do something about this, and it would be basically our version of Obamacare. Trump care, I guess. This is not going over well with many Republicans, even if they're Trump supporters. And lately, according to some of those that have been watching this, they say there have been a lot of calls from Democrat operatives around the country trying to make the issue central to their ballot races in their local districts. As one longtime Democrat pollster said, Trump's repeal and replace rhetoric was a welcome reminder that for all of Biden's difficulties, Trump can still F up. You got it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.